Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
People are sleeping. Well, look at that, show number 950. Steve, your radio friend. And now we dance.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Is this English? Whatever this dude's singing? I don't think it is. I think at some point we're going to find out that it's some filthy song, some filthy cursing song that we've been playing every morning at the start of the show. Tell you a sweet story. I had an uncle that passed away a couple of years ago. That's not the sweet part. And his mother, my grandmother, was old country Finnish. And she had a lullaby song she would sing for him when he was a little boy. And he never knew what the song meant, didn't know what the words were. So a couple of years before he passed away himself, he met a lady who spoke fluent Finnish. And he said, you know, my mom used to sing this song to me when I was a kid. Would you know the words? She said, well, I don't know. Could you sing it now? He started to sing it, and she got this horrified look on her face.
Oh, no.
So what? What does it mean? No. That could not have been what she sang to you. It was a song about the town hooker going around and sleeping with all the men in town and eventually committing a few murders. Oh. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, it's, right.
Isn't that a sweet story about my grandmother?
Yeah.
I got to call Springer, see if he'll book me. Orion will be on this hour. Orion Samuelson. You know Orion Samuelson, young broadcaster, looking for a break?
Yeah.
We're going to give him a break this hour. Lou's back from wherever he was. He'll be on in just a few minutes. If you want to be Lou's first call, I would suggest you pick up the phone and call 312-981-7200 and park yourself there now. We got a whole bunch of Blackhawk stuff this morning because the convention opens today, including Troy Murray, guest disc jockey.
All right.
Troy Murray's going to sit in with the band for a couple hours.
Love Troy.
So he'll be in here in a little bit.
Did he used to be a DJ?
Troy?
No, wait. He was a star hockey player.
Yeah, I don't think he ever had a real job.
Nice.
I think he was playing hockey.
That was his real job.
But that's a good question. You should ask him that when he's here. Did he ever have a job?
Well, no, you ask him that.
Well, that's not offensive. That's not offensive.
Oh, you mean like before he was a star hockey player?
Yeah. Did he ever, or after, did he ever work a real job?
Like bagging at the Jewel? Or
like after he retired barista. And before he started doing color, he probably had some kind of job, didn't he?
I would think. Most of those guys did.
Unless he was like a drifter.
A drifter.
Yeah, I don't see Troy being a drifter.
Nah, probably not. Anyway, Troy will be in here in a little bit. And we got some musicians in the 9 o'clock hour for an event I'm doing tomorrow night, which is important that I want to tell you about, so we'll do that later. Let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Men.
Hey, here's what we don't need. More rain. The Fox River passed flood level and the Des Plaines River rising again because of the buckets of rain that were dumped on the area yesterday. It's got to stop. What's the forecast for today?
There is a flash flood watch.
Not good.
That goes into effect tonight, this afternoon, into the weekend. We could see rainfall rates of 1 inch per hour during these storms.
And they start when?
This evening, this afternoon, late this afternoon into tonight.
Here's the good thing, though. There was rain in the forecast last night, and it didn't happen. So hopefully, and fingers crossed, maybe these storms
move out. We got a little rain
out.
In the western burbs.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, we didn't get any in the city.
Yeah, we didn't get any up north. Yeah.
See, we have enough.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You don't want any more.
Yeah, correct.
You don't want any more.
And what about the weekend there, Steve Skilling?
That is a compliment. Thank you very much. It's going to rain every day. We're going to have these thunderstorm chances in the afternoon and evening every day through the weekend. But the concern is that tonight and tomorrow, there's going to be waves of rain coming through over the course of the entire period. So it's not going to be like a one-off every day. It'll be like a constant rain.
Well, Sandberg, what were you saying to me? Because I couldn't hear you. Here's Mary Sandberg live from the producer's booth.
We're talking to Tom Skilling on Monday at 9:40.
Well, good. So that'll pretty much wrap up the weekend. Let us know whether or not we're underwater.
Whether or not it flooded.
Here's your top six. Rains and the stuff. That's your first item. Your second item is about to come right about now. Rahm Emanuel, you might know Rahm, he's the mayor. His administration has agreed to pay a $38.75 million settlement class action lawsuit alleging Chicago failed to give adequate notice to red light camera and speed camera violators. I know a guy, and I don't want to say who it is, but I know a guy whose car was booted when he got back to the airport a couple of nights ago. And again, I don't want to name him, but it rhymes with Pat Brady.
No.
For having a couple of red light tickets that he hadn't paid.
Oh, you're kidding.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. If you park at the airport and you have expired tickets, or if you park off-site at the airport, mm-hmm. you have expired tickets. If the police have access to the garage,
yeah.
they will go through and they'll run plates and they'll see if there's any expired tickets and your car will get booted.
And also they'll check if you live, if they have time, they run your plate and you don't have a city sticker, they can go into all the garages here, including O'Hare, yeah. and they'll ticket you for not having, if you have an expired city sticker and your plates match a Chicago address.
And yet we still don't have Trump's tax returns. President Trump's lawyers, since you guys brought it up, and his aides are scouring the backgrounds of investigators hired by special counsel Robert Mueller. This is going to be the new smokescreen. The investigators Robert Mueller hired contributed to Hillary Clinton's campaign, so they're obviously on the take, even though the only people talking about Hillary Clinton is Donald Trump and the people around Trump.
Right.
The people in the woods with Hillary Clinton aren't even talking about Hillary Clinton at this point.
Hillary's
No one's talking about Hillary Clinton.
No, Hillary's literally laughing all the way to the bank because she just did a paid speech in Chicago a few weeks ago. She's on the speaking circuit tour right now, probably making a nice
Well, but nice she's talking to herself in the woods going, how did I lose to the orange one? Yeah. But nobody's talking about her. Nobody. They're looking for conflicts of interest, people with knowledge of the effort said. And the Washington Post reporting this morning that President Trump is asking about his pardoning powers, including the ability to possibly have to pardon himself.
Oh, jeez. What's the president
Hi, Donald J.
Okay.
Trump. Hey, Donald J. Trump. Being of mind and a rather large body, pardon myself.
You didn't say sound mind.
No, there's a pretty personal reason for that. Senate Republican leaders trying to get a health care debate going next week, but they can't decide which bill they're going to debate, let alone if they can eventually get to a vote on it. Oh, and in case you missed this, you now live in a country where Donald Trump is the president of the United States and O.J. Simpson is about to be a free man.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted this out last night, and I believe it to be true. One of us, of the 330 million people in this country, has really angered God. I don't know which one of you it is, but you need to say you're sorry and make it right.
Exactly.
We need to find that person and throw them into the volcano.
Right. Sacrifice it. Come on. And finally, Ryan Seacrest will return as the host of American Idol and A Restless Nation Can Now Sleep. Mary Vanderbilt's here with your traffic update. Then we'll come back with your traffic update, and then we'll come back with your traffic update. Oh, Steve Stuck. And then we'll come back with Lou Manfredini in just a second. Okay, so stand by for that. Your American Weathermakers people, your heating and cooling 60-minute men, they bring you, as always, the top six at six.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
It's Lou Manfredini, and he is sponsored by America Weathermakers, and he joins us now from Channel 9. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, sir.
Welcome back. How was your off?
It was great.
Where'd you go?
Just to Wisconsin.
What are you trying to hide?
Nothing.
No, I noticed there's a pause in your answer.
My wife and I, our family.
Where'd you really go?
We are fortunate enough to have a home in southeastern Wisconsin, and we spend a lot of weekends up there in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And
pressured to go every weekend since you own it?
No pressure. That's where I go.
Because you like going.
Yeah. No, I know for a lot of people that maybe think about making that kind of purchase that, like, oh, we'll never use it. We use it all the time. Yeah.
And my next question for you would be, did you get the same sort of epic rainfall that folks on the north side got?
Unfortunately for us, not to the level of some of these homes, but the house is on the side of a hill. And so the volume of water coming down the hill was what overtook the went right over the top of the foundation, which it's never happened before. So,
and what happens then?
Carpeting damaged, you know, like many people that are suffering way worse than us, you know, pulling that up and tearing it out and fans and the right mold cleaner.
Well, since you own a couple of Ace Hardware stores, do you just call and then people deliver stuff?
No, I went up and did it. You know, it's for me, Steve, doing the work is very therapeutic.
Is that true?
It really is true.
Because to me, it seems like if, for instance, I host a talk show.
Yeah.
And if I go home at night and somebody said, hey, would you like to host a talk show? No, I don't think I would. By the way, isn't it funny that I said go home at night?
Right.
So if I get home at noon, and somebody says, do you want to host
maybe
a talk show? But you are in a position where I'm not surprised that you get asked to do the stuff. This is really your fault. I mean, you're the one that knows how to do it.
I know. You know, I've also managed and owned rental property for many, many, many years, long before I was on WGN Radio. And I still am very involved in that. And for me, it is, it's, I don't know how to describe, you know, as all of us are so busy, what I love about getting into a project, whatever it may be, is that you get into the project. Like, you put the phone down, and it's like, I'm going to focus on this, and it's a great way to escape and do whatever.
Well, that's your ADD. Your ADD. You have ADD like everybody in show business.
And
this,
exactly.
And this makes you focus on something.
Oh, my gosh. And then the phone rings, and I get so angry. Like, stop calling me. I just turn it off.
Mom. All right. So first caller standing by is Mary in Chicago. Let's go there now. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing fine. You are the first caller for Lou, and we have fabulous prizes for you, as you would guess. I'm sure, Mary, that's the primary reason you called, because you wanted to get these fabulous prizes. An April Air Wi-Fi thermostat allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home, your home's air on your smartphone, brought to you by American Weather Makers, home of the 60-Minute Man, 855-955-HVAC. It also includes a week where Lou lives in your house.
Thanks. Well, that'd be great. Get all the work done.
That's what I'm saying. All right, so what's your question for Lou?
Well, I have these black carpenter bees that bore into the wood, and I'm wondering if you can find what I can get to take care of those. They're really bad. They're really nasty.
In a certain area of the home on the outside?
It's on the outside of the wood, you know, where the deck is. You know, we have it there. And really, you couldn't bore a better hole if you tried. It's really amazing. But you get all these holes. It's terrible. They're nasty things.
When you go to the hardware store, there you're going to find a foaming wasp and hornet spray. And this is really the trick to eliminate any kind of nuisance bee like this. Whenever I talk about eliminating bees, people get angry. These are not honeybees, but I mean, they're part of the ecosystem. I get it, but you also have to worry about getting bitten, and for a lot of people, that is important to avoid. So the foaming spray, what that does is when you apply it and it goes into those holes that they bored and in between the joints, will kind of puff up. And the trick with trying to eliminate it is to change the behavior of the insect. And so you have to apply this every day, or every other day, really, probably for a week. And the whole idea is there's residual value with the foaming spray, and because it fills in all the nooks and crannies, they'll come over and go, whoa, I want nothing to do with that. And they will find another location. But the key is the consistency day after day, whether it's every day or every other day. You know, you'll kind of pay attention to as you see the activity. It's a really good thing to do in the evening when they're not bothersome and for you as well, but then hit it at night, hit it in the morning, hit it at night, hit it in the morning. If you do that over several days, you should eliminate the problem.
Oh, thank you. Is there a brand name for this?
No,
brand?
I mean, you could, whether it's Raid or the Ace brand, it doesn't matter. Just look for foaming wasp and hornet spray.
Mary, don't you have somebody else who can do this for you? Don't you have a...
It's therapeutic.
No, I don't want Mary messing around with bees. Isn't there somebody else who can squirt the bees?
Oh, yeah, my husband will do it.
Oh, there you go.
I'll just find a knife what to do for it.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, if he goes down, that's fine. We just don't want to lose you.
Oh, thanks. Well, thank you. But anyway, thank you very much, Lou. I appreciate that. I'll be getting that right away.
All right, you hold the line. We have a present for you, as I said. Text her from the Bear. Lou, how do I get fungus off Goldilocks grass? The Bear.
Mm. There is a fungus treatment. It's really tough because of all this rain. The fungus and some spotting in the grass will be common for a lot of people with lower spots in the lawn. There's a fungus spray that Ortho makes that you can use that's pretty effective. It's a concentrate. Follow the instructions exactly on the bottle. More is not better. So it's going to tell you, you know, this many ounces per gallon in a pump sprayer. Apply it, and then within a couple weeks you should see results.
Another texter, Lou, I'm having some tree problems. My family tree doesn't have any branches. What should I do?
Well, play a little Barry White.
Show up at a reunion.
Exactly.
All right, so for all the water and all the rain and all the mess, what do you recommend? I mean, do people, you know, people are waiting for insurance adjusters to come by. Those guys are swamped, literally. And
you know, what's really tough, Steve, is you know, down here in the city and in a lot of areas where most of us live, we don't see the kind of flooding that's up north, and it is dramatic. And there are still, I've been driving up to, you know, Wisconsin, as I mentioned earlier, and I still see a lot of homes underwater, completely underwater. And so there's nothing at that point anybody can do. You've got to wait for the water to recede. And depending on the level, you know, the mistake that a lot of people make is, you know, if you get 2 inches of water in a basement, let's say you're, as terrible as this sounds, you're fortunate enough to only get 2 inches of water in your basement. Anything that is around the perimeter of that, of where that water was, you've got a double or triple going vertically up of what you take out. And so, you know, 2 inches of water.
What does that mean?
Meaning you're going to, if there's drywall down there.
You've got to cut 6 inches of drywall.
Exactly. And really, you should probably do 2 feet because it's just going to be easier to work on.
Okay.
And all of that insulation that may be underneath there has to come out because that is going to be a breeding ground for mildew and mold. The wood, if there's wood framing there, that's resilient, and that, when treated properly with the right stuff, not bleach. This is the – actually, I'm going to talk about this morning on television, is the fact that everybody runs for the bottle of Clorox, and while it smells good and it will kill bacteria on solid surfaces, on non-porous surfaces – it doesn't do anything for porous and actually will bring the mold back. And so you've got to use the right types of cleaner after you, you know, scrape up the mud and the debris and whatever it may be. The other thing that worries me about folks is there will be mildew and mold on there, and that's a health hazard. And so the very first thing you have to do is get some type of mask before you enter that space and try and get as much air moving down there initially as possible. So, you know, the 20-inch box fans that you can buy that cost, you know, $15-$20 – get a bunch of those and start that air moving because we've got to get all that humidity and moist air out as you're doing this cleanup. It's just a complete mess. And obviously, if you want to get going before the adjuster comes, as you mentioned, then you got to take a bunch of pictures, even take a video with your phone, you know, kind of look around and say, here it is.
Time date stamped.
Exactly. Document all that stuff because the adjusters understand. They're swamped no matter what insurance company they're with. And so it's like, here you go. This is my home, such and such a date. Here's the cover of the Tribune. I mean, it doesn't have to go that far. But if you document it, you know, they'll be able to assess it, make sure that you get the right claim. But then you can get going and try and get your life back in order.
What's the difference between trying to cost cut here and doing yourself bigger issues or spending too much money that you don't have to spend right away?
Interesting question. I think that, you know, the biggest challenge with all of this is get rid of anything that's wet. If you come in and like, well, that's not so bad, get it out of there. Because once you start closing stuff up and the high humidity levels, even though the water goes down and you've got all these fans, oh, I listened to everything that Lou said, the humidity level is going to remain in that home for months. And if we close it all up, like, oh, it looks great, it could be a breeding ground that you don't see. So if it's in question, as you're saying, should I do this, should I not, just do it. Oh, the doors are fine, but they got this stain on it. Just pull it out.
And as far as just running out and hiring the restoration company that, you know, legit, there's
so
tons of
nervous.
Legit ones.
Yeah, I'm so nervous about this because there's going to be a bunch of ambulance chasers.
That's
now.
What I mean.
And there's going to be people knocking on your door and saying, hey, you know, we can help you out in this and that. Do not give anybody any money up front. Period, the end. If anybody comes and says, look, you give me $500, you know, I'll be back tomorrow and do whatever. If you're going to hire somebody, you need to do the due diligence to make sure that they're legit. You need to call on the references. Legitimate companies.
Better Business Bureau, Google search,
correct,
that type of thing.
Angie's List, whatever it is you want to try and do and get third-party endorsements. But do not hand anybody any money up front. Legitimate companies in this realm will come in and do the work and bill you.
Okay. Good advice, man. Appreciate it. I know you got to go do the similar stuff on TV.
I do
so
have fun
do
at the Blackhawks convention. I'm sorry that I'm not going to be able to stop by, but if you leave a ticket for me, you never know.
Yeah, no, I can get you in. I know people. And by the way, I know we're late here, but spent some time at Mike Mathis' wake last night,
yeah.
And I know how you felt about him as well, so I just want to give you a chance to say whatever you want to say.
Oh, my gosh. I had such a great conversation with Mike at the Walk of Fame,
yep.
Where he was just inducted with he and his family. I hadn't seen him in a long time, and, you know, I honestly left the conversation with, hey, he looks great, and he sounded great. And like everyone, I was just shocked to hear that. I was out of town. I was stuck in New York last night. I really wanted to try and get there. But what a terrific guy. And, you know, Steve, as we all get older, I believe, was he 68?
67.
67. I mean, that is just far too young for all. So my prayers and my love go to his family and pray for his peace.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy it, and we'll see you on TV.
Take care.
That's Lou Manfredini at 6:35. Big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Well, from the standpoint of growth, and what you need to get, Dave, is a hoe.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Remember, this show is BYOH. Bring your own hoe. I had a bunch of hoes when I was a kid. When I was younger.
When you were a kid?
A lot of hoes.
Is that legal?
Yeah, one had an orange handle, one had a red handle, one had a black handle. And my father would say things like, go hoe this, go hoe that. And I go, hey, I have homework.
You have too many hoes?
The hoe should help me with the homework. But none of it was farming. Orion Samuelson standing by. So you can take an entire conversation, Big O, and you can make it sound dirty when in fact it's not.
No, it's not. And I'm wondering if you actually used any of the hoes with the different colored handles that you just mentioned.
I did. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I knew my way around a hoe. I knew my way around a rototiller. I could handle that stuff.
I believe you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll accept that.
Now, today, I'd have someone come in and handle my hoe for me.
Well, I would do the same.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Let's just go on record with that. All right, all this rain, all of the stuff that got, you know, the north side in such a mess. Downstate get any of those problems?
Not the flooding problems that we have seen in the northern part of the state. And it's a situation where we can handle the rain, not in the amount that we've gotten in the northern part of the state, but this is a critical time for the corn crop, and August will be the critical time for the soybean crop. We need not a lot of heat for the pollination period. That's the corn porn that we have discussed here quite a few
times.
Yes. But we do not need a lot of heat, particularly high temperatures during this period for the corn crop. August will need rain. And there were a lot of areas in the Midwest that have not been getting the rain we've gotten in northern Illinois. So, yeah, there will be places that need rain. Meanwhile, I'm working in our Western studios this week in Arizona, and we're into the monsoon season. You probably saw the tragedy of 10 members of two families killed in a flash flood last Saturday.
Right.
And we have been getting monsoon rains out here. We drove up north of Phoenix yesterday to visit with some cattle ranchers, and heavy rains that came down, not lasting very long, but when you don't have any place for the water to go, that goes to the low areas, and that's what happened to the family of 10 that got caught in that flash flood. So relative humidity right now, 44%. That's extremely high for the desert.
Right.
But this happens every year. You get monsoon season in generally July late, and it'll go into the end of August and early September. So.
And the rain you're talking about for August here that's needed, I think it's good to remind those listening who have no experience with farmers or farming that the ground doesn't store the water from the rains of June and July. You got to get new rain for August.
Yes. Yep. So. Definitely need rain. A couple of things that I do want to mention because we last month, the Chinese market opened to U.S. fresh beef, something that had been closed to our cattle producers.
You've been calling for that for as long as I've known you. You've been calling for that.
Yeah, and finally it has happened. It happened last month. But yesterday, Secretary Perdue announced for the first time ever in history, China will import rice from the United States. And to give you an idea of how much rice is consumed by the Chinese population, in 13 days, the people of China could consume all of the rice we grow in a year here in the United States.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So why import from us? Simply because the Asian region doesn't have enough rice to supply China?
Well, there's a difference in quality, and I think U.S. rice, particularly Texas long grain rice, is a desired rice in many parts of the world.
Ah.
So that's part of it, and you know, as we keep seeing the Chinese population move into middle class, they have more people in middle class now than we have in this country. They tend to want to eat better, and that's why they love American beef, and that's why I think they'll be pleased to get American rice into that country. But I was just astounded when I saw that number that in 13 days they will consume all of the rice that we
produce.
Yeah.
Dave, Andrea, Mary, Steve, anybody with anything for Orion?
We had the Green City Market folks in earlier this week, and they said Orion, as you probably are well aware, that the Chicago has become, in our metro area, and really Illinois has just become really number one, number two, number three in the country when it comes to the farmers markets. And I know you've always been a big proponent. Orion actually introduced me to this homemade mango, it was a pineapple salsa, right?
No, corn salsa.
The corn salsa from his friend Tom at the farmers
market. Tom's Market,
But the success, I mean, I'm sure you're probably not surprised by the success because we have such great locally grown products in Illinois.
I can believe New York and Chicago are your best farmers market cities, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are in the heart of farmers markets at the moment, and we're also in the heart of county fair season, and you can pick up a lot of fresh produce that farmers bring to the county fairs. And so we've got the first county fair close into the Chicago area this weekend, the Kane County Fair at St. Charles, and up in Wisconsin, the Waukesha County Fair at Waukesha. One of many, many county fairs going on this weekend. Somebody asked when the Illinois State Fair would get underway. August 3rd through the Wisconsin State Fair that kicks off the state fair season here in the Midwest, and it'll get underway August 3rd and continue through the 13th.
It's the cream
puff. So go out to a county fair, have a corn dog, and have an elephant ear. And have corn on the cob. And speaking of that, tomorrow morning on the Saturday morning show, we're going to talk to Gary Pack at Twin Garden Farm.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. This is big. We'll this is big. Yes. This is one of the reasons many people apply for and try to get a job at the Mighty 720. Not about the prestige of being at America's biggest radio station. No, it's about corn season.
About the sweet corn.
Me rye corn.
Mm-hmm.
Me rye corn. And I think they have a countdown now on their website, Twin Garden Farms. And I think as of yesterday, they're saying the season is 7 days away. And so we'll be talking to Gary Pack, who is the Me Rise specialist, tomorrow morning, Saturday morning show, and we'll give you the latest on the progress of the Me Rise sweet corn.
I got a list here of fair foods, because you can get pretty wacky foods at fairs around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, tell me if you've had any of these. Indiana's Hot Beef Sundae.
Yeah, I have had that. Yes.
It's hot beef layered with mashed potatoes, gravy, cheese, corn sprinkles, and a cherry tomato.
Oh, my God.
And it's served in a glass container that looks like it would hold ice cream or malted milk or something.
What's that to like? Ice cream? Good.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Yeah, it's fresh. Yeah. Texas State Fair, fried beer.
That one I have not had.
Pocketed in pretzel dough, it's beer. Dave, have you had fried beer?
I have not had fried beer.
You had regular beer?
I try to stay away from fried foods.
In Montana, and by the way, if you have this, get to a clinic quickly, fried butterballs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to mention. I have been at one county fair where they had fried quarter-pound sticks of butter that they dip into boiling fat and put a crust on it.
God, just install it into your arteries. How about that?
Or what is your favorite, Orin, if you had to pick two of your favorite of all time, carnival or fair food?
My favorite would be the rib sandwich that they do. The beef producers of Illinois do that always at the Illinois State Fair, and it's a great sandwich. I like it. And I do like the elephant ears. They're pretty good if you want something sweet. You know, it's a baked good, again, done in boiling oil. So,
Orion likes the cream puffs, too. Aren't those the big draw at the Wisconsin State Fair?
Yeah. The cream puffs. Yeah. And there's a real art to eating cream puffs without spilling them all over the front of your shirt. And we'll talk about that.
He did give us a lesson. Next time we talk, we'll also talk about Elvis on a stick. That's something you can order at the Wisconsin State Fair. All right, enjoy your weekend.
All right, will do. We'll keep an eye on the monsoons here in the desert.
Thank you, sir.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Played by Connor Murphy. He has an open lane up the left wing. Murphy in over the Pittsburgh line. Takes a shot. He scores! Has ended it for the Coyotes as Connor Murphy had that open ice. Richardson to the right point. Murphy the shot. He scores!
Well, Verbata back out high. Feeds it. Murphy shoots. He scores! Connor Murphy!
Get used to a lot of that. We'll talk to Connor Murphy in just a second. Nobody wanted to see Jalmerson leave town. But in Connor Murphy, you actually get younger with more offensive pop. How about that? I gotta say, this Stan guy over there seems to know what he's doing. Troy Murray joins us in the studio. How good is it to see you? Look at you. Look how good you look. You having a good summer?
I have.
Nice to have you on the show.
Went on a cleanse, lost 20 pounds.
You cleanse and lost 20 pounds?
Yeah.
Good God, what were you eating before the cleanse?
Bad stuff.
Is that the juice cleanse?
You look great, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You having a good summer?
Yeah.
Did we cover that a second ago? How's your golf game?
Good. Played yesterday in a Helping Hands golf outing out at Twin Orchards. Jeremy Roenick's big part of that.
Yeah. And
other than the fact that it was hot.
The heat index yesterday, I believe, was 10,000 degrees. Is that accurate?
Yeah. It was.
Plus, you still have the Canadian blood.
I like cold weather.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, I'm just kidding.
What's the hottest it ever gotten?
Yesterday was too hot.
Well, you grew up in Calgary?
I was born in Calgary.
Okay. Where'd you grow up mostly?
Just north of Edmonton. A place called St. Albert.
Okay.
Small little place.
What's the hottest summer day you can remember? Would it ever get to 90?
It would get to 90. If it got to 90, that was hot.
Okay.
I don't know if they get a 100-degree day.
Yeah. Because 100 degrees, people moved.
Yeah. They didn't know what the ice started to melt.
Well, Troy's going to be around all morning. We appreciate that. Connor Murphy's standing by. And, of course, in the midst of some major deals the Blackhawks made was Connor coming to Chicago and preparing for his first Blackhawks convention. Welcome to town.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You know, the legend Troy Murray is with me, Connor. Don't be nervous.
Luckily, I'm on the phone, so I don't have to picture anyone in underwear or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Boys, say hi to Connor.
Hi, Connor. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks.
Yeah, well, welcome to Chicago. I'm excited for the season to start this year. I know that fans and the people here in Chicago love Nicklas Hjalmarsson, good friend, good teammate here in Chicago. But I think there's a lot of excitement in the moves that Stan made, and obviously you were one of the big moves that they made. Are you excited about coming to Chicago?
Oh, yeah, really excited. I grew up in Columbus, so Chicago's always been a big city, Midwest, just for a hockey market, and coming and kind of playing growing up and
some of the rinks around and seeing kind of what the Hawks are all about. And just for the trade, it was shocking at first, but it's pretty cool to go to such a great place.
When you would come here to play in the, as we lovingly call it, the Madhouse on Madison, every guy that either comes here or guys we've talked to from other teams, they all say the same thing. It's one of the tougher buildings to play in on the road because we, the Blackhawks fans, are so loud. Would you rank it right up there with Montreal and other places that are hockey nuts?
Yeah, for sure. It sets the tone early with the anthem. It's one of those things you go out and you kind of stand on the blue line or on the bench and look at each other as the anthem's going on with the fans going nuts. It's something that no other building can relate to. And I mean, we'd be the Coyotes sometimes wouldn't be the highest in the standings. We'd have a weeknight game and kind of thinking the crowd would be on a bit of a lull and it would come out wild. So it's really cool and the players are. I've definitely been lucky and earned some great fans in the city.
Connor makes a great point. There is a point when the anthem's going on where it's got to feel like the old, like a sacrifice in the Roman era. You know, the whole building's rocking, right? You're waiting for the people to come pouring out of the stands.
But, you know, back in the day, in the old Chicago Stadium, if I could ever get somebody to go there and get there early and listen to the anthem, they were hooked on hockey and they would love it live. And Bob McGill said it perfectly, and it was kind of funny because, you know, he said that, and he was a fighter, tough guy kind of,
sure.
You know, player, and he said, I loved coming into Chicago, he said, because I knew that I was going to be involved in the game, and a lot of times, if you could play in the buildings like Boston, like Chicago, Philadelphia, teams would play players in those environments to see if they could play in the NHL. Because if you could survive Chicago or survive Boston, you can play anywhere in the National Hockey League.
That's true,
and that's, you know, part of the atmosphere and everything. And Bob McGill said, you know, if you can survive the first 5 or 10 minutes coming into Chicago, he says, you know, you were okay, but you better be ready for those first 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, Connor, I don't know how to describe the convention to you, but if you've ever been around people who love you before they've met you, that's what you're going to get a little of this afternoon.
Yeah, that's cool. I got in yesterday and met a couple people kind of walking through the lobby and it's pretty cool to see everyone around and the buzz a bit and the cool setup they got here at the Hilton. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Connor, what's your experience with Team USA been like and how has that helped you with your NHL career?
Yeah, it's been big. It's one thing the last 3 or 4 years now I've gone to the World Championships overseas. We haven't really been a playoff team in recent years in Arizona, so I always want to kind of keep playing and try to keep developing and playing on big stages. So I've been really fortunate that they've been picking me to go and represent the country, and it's one of those things you don't ever really want to turn down, just the chance. You don't know how many of them you're going to get to do that. So I've been fortunate and had a lot of fun doing that and met a lot of good guys, and even a couple guys here I've played with. I played with Vinny Nestroza and Schmaltzy, and it's cool to kind of go close to some of those guys in those short tournaments and like I said, represent the country and try to win tournaments, really.
Connor, if you look at some of the comments that Stan Bowman talked about after the trade was made, you know, putting the hockey element aside, Stan talked about the leadership qualities that you have. I know that you were a captain over in the World Championships, and you know, you have that leadership ability. Where do you see that fitting into the Blackhawks when you start the season this year?
Yeah, I always felt being on teams, it's pretty cool to see how whether you're one of the kind of part of the leadership group or not, everyone has an impact on the team, and whether it's one game where someone steps up and kind of plays to help lift the other guys if someone's down, or if it's even just around the room, around the rink. Just having good character guys, I think, is so important. And I was fortunate. I was in the tournament for a few years, so they picked me to be a guy that's a little more experienced to kind of help out with a young team. So I think it's pretty cool, and it's exciting for me just coming in and they've got such a great core here and guys that really know how to win and how to play and how to be good pros. And I'm looking forward to learning off those guys too here.
That's the thing too, with Saad coming back, Saad and Connor are both 24 years old. And they feel like long-term grizzled vets. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the funny thing is people kind of don't realize that Panarin was here for a couple of years. Panarin is older than Brandon Sutter.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're going like, wow. I mean, you got younger. You think you're getting older,
but you got younger
when you bring back Brandon Sutter. But you're getting younger.
Yeah. Here's the thing that people are going to be looking for, Connor. Jalmerson loved to stand in front of screaming pucks and have them hit him in painful areas of his body. We wouldn't mind if you blocked a few shots, but we like the scoring side too. So how does your game compare or contrast with Jalmerson?
I don't know. I think we just maybe similar in the way of I'd say I'm more of a defending style than anything, but I like to kind of have a good stick and be smart, and I actually do admire how Jalmerson plays, and he's got really good feet, and he defends well, he closes time and space really quick, and him and Duncan Keith do that really well. So those are guys I definitely have watched in the recent past, and he's definitely fearless in his own zone, blocking shots and going up against top lines. So it's something I feel like I'm a taller guy and can be mobile and kind of have good vision to make passes and have a good snapshot from the point to get shots through every now and then. So try to bring a little bit of an all-around game, but it's going to be fun to get into camp and see what's expected and try to earn some good roles.
All right, Troy, last word for Connor before we see him later on at the hotel.
I'm excited to meet him at the convention today. It's going to be great. There's going to be, 10,000 people there this weekend, whatever
right.
It is. It's incredible. And for Connor, I don't know if you've experienced that out in the desert or in Columbus back in the day when your dad was around, which is good. I played against your father. So
is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
cool.
Your father, Gord, played in the NHL for a lot of years.
Yep.
Assistant coach in the NHL. And so I'm just looking forward to meeting you. Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah, that means a lot. Thanks so much.
All right, but we'll see you later. And thanks for being on. That's Connor Murphy, one of the newest Blackhawks, who is 6'3". He's a big boy.
There's a physical element to his game.
Yeah, 6'3", 190. A lot of people are going to confuse Connor and me.
I know. I was going to say, I thought you were going to say next to each other. There's a physical element to him, which is quite true.
Yeah, it's a little different physical element.
Yeah, a lot of people refer to me as an older, more beaten down Connor Murphy.
I think from the picture that you showed, we call those washboard abs.
Yeah, it looks like he's got about a 14-pack.
Right.
Dude's in shape.
If you just happen to Google Connor Murphy, there's a bodybuilder.
There's a bodybuilder
with
the same name.
Oh, it's not same. It's not Connor?
You might confuse yourself on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you might get mixed up with him.
Well, here's the thing. I don't
Here's
the thing. I don't spend a lot of time looking at guys' abs. I just want to make that clear.
No, well,
not that there's anything wrong with it. So I saw it and I went, wow, that guy's in shape. And then we got him on the phone. That's our research department.
Do you think he has any clue of what's waiting in that hotel?
There's no way you can.
And the first thing that they have, obviously, is the opening ceremonies that the players will be involved with. When he steps out and gets introduced, I mean, it's going to be exciting. You got, Brandon Saad coming back, Patrick Sharp obviously coming back.
Yeah.
There's going to be excitement there. But when Connor Murphy steps out there and he sees what's going on, he's going to be going like, wow.
Yeah, welcome to Chicago, dude.
Yeah.
Roe and Anna will kick off coverage of the Hawks convention at 3. Dave and I will be out there for the opening ceremonies at 5. Are we going to be in the ballroom again?
We'll be
you
in the
ballroom.
You
know how you
again.
Like to dance. So that'll be this afternoon. Troy, you'll be on stage, I assume. Troy Murray's here.
I will.
Yeah.
I'll be on stage.
Now, when you came up, there was
John and I.
Right. The great John Weideman.
Yeah.
And by the way, I tell you this off the air all the time. I think I've said it on the air a bunch, too. I should. You guys sound better than ever. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's funny, too, because as the season goes on, your love of hockey and the fact that you never get tired of your job and you love going to work, I just thought you guys last year had one of your best years. And you're always good, but you just sounded better than ever.
Ah. You're the best.
No, but I'm telling you, it's not just because we're friends. There's a skill that, and I'm not knocking athletes, of course, being one of them, but ex-athletes don't get as good at what you do as fast as you have. I just think, and I know you work at it, but you're one of the best examples of guys who come off the field or off the ice and get after it and get real good real fast. Part of the thing with Weideman is where do you get your information in? I mean, the guy's talking a lot because he has to.
That's the trick in hockey because it doesn't stop.
Right.
So I have to remind John that whistle to whistle. When the whistle blows, my turn.
Give me a little room.
When the puck drops, it's your turn.
Yeah.
Because it happens so quick. And you know, Dave, you know this, but when you sit there and you're watching the hockey game and describing it, and I'm sitting right next to John in all these booths and stuff, and I'm watching the game, he's telling me exactly what I'm watching, which is incredible. I mean, and he doesn't miss a beat on anything that's going on. And I do listen to the other broadcasts around the league, and John, in my opinion, by far is the best guy.
He is tremendous, and he said something to me a while ago, which I thought was interesting. And Dave, you have a spotter in the booth, for instance, for Northwestern football. Somebody, in case you miss a number, somebody can tell you it was this player or that player. John said he watches how guys skate. Like, you won't necessarily look for a number on a sweater. Like, there's certain styles for how guys skate or the way they stick handle.
You wouldn't have to put a number on any of the Blackhawk players. And John and I basically, you know, and Pat and Eddie too, whatever. I mean, we would know who that player is.
Right, but I'm talking about the guys from the visitors as well.
Well, you could, when you see a team a couple times, you see the styles and stuff. And you
pretty
know,
amazing.
It's unique, but yeah. And he does a lot of preparation. I mean, the names in the NHL
they're insane.
But, you know, and for him to have the name and say it as quickly as he does in the middle of the action is incredible.
Now, you guys, we'll talk about skating around a little bit, and I know you play the alumni game and stuff. You ever played with Weidemann? Because he still plays a little hockey, doesn't he?
I have not. He plays a lot of men's league games.
He does. Yeah. Do you have any idea how good he is?
No.
Not so curious.
He talks a good game.
Yeah, he plays a fair amount.
He plays defenseman. Yeah, he's always playing. Sunday nights he's playing in a league, and after the games, he doesn't like the Sunday games that go late because he's going to miss the start of his men's league game.
Okay.
So he gets out of there right away and goes to his men's league game, and I saw him, we were down at the United Center not too long ago for something, and he's skating two or three times a week.
I think it'd be great if Troy showed up at one point.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good if you showed up at one point just to surprise John. You just come in the helmet.
He keeps asking me.
Hey, we want you to come out.
Yeah.
Show and tell at the men's league.
Yeah, but you know, when I look at the men's league, it's everybody's one break away from the NHL.
Well, that's the problem.
That's
right?
The mentality of these guys,
right? So, and they see Troy Murray and they go, "Watch me show him what I can do."
When Bob Probert was here in Chicago, he was skating in a Sunday men's league game, and people actually wanted to fight him. He said, "Well, you're not that tough." And like his side of the story was like, I did it for a living. I don't want to do it now.
Right.
But guys
were trying
to say, "Well, you're not so tough. I could," you know, it's like, come on.
Right. If I'm a chef, I don't feel like making you a hamburger right now. Let's just play.
Just a hunch. However good John is, he's better than you and me.
You think?
Just a hunch.
Yeah. Yeah, well, considering I haven't played hockey since I was maybe nine.
Did you play David?
I like his chances.
No.
But you're a good backup.
Played.
You're a good backup.
Yeah, I'm a great goalie. Limited movement. if limited movement ever comes back to goalie, I'm going to be there. More with Troy Murray coming up. And, of course, we are always thrilled to remind you that we are the Blackhawks radio partner. And every Blackhawks game will be on right here, again, on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Taves a Kane left circle, moves it, and scores! Power play goal for the Hawks! Kane with a handoff from Taves.
Kane got it back, left circle, fires. He scores! Patrick Kane!
Hole shoots, he scores! Patrick Kane!
Put it in front of the net, he scores!
Patrick Kane has now tied Tony Amonte for sixth all-time in Chicago Blackhawks goal scoring and ties the game at three.
For those of you lucky enough to have tickets for the convention, you will see Kaner tonight. You'll see Jonathan Taves tonight. You see everybody tonight. Troy Murray's here. Kaner standing by on the phone. The grizzled veteran of the Chicago Blackhawks. And you know, I've always liked Kaner because I got 88 on my SATs. So that's one of my favorite numbers. Morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Troy.
How are you? Thanks for getting up.
Yeah, no problem. I'm actually... It worked out perfectly. I'm on my way to the gym anyway, so just stopped 10 minutes early and get in the interview with you guys.
What is the routine now before the season? You always do morning workouts?
Yeah. So we'll do 8 to 10 every day at the gym. We got a pretty good group with guys like myself, Ryan Hartman, Brandon Sods in town right now. So we go with our great strength and conditioning coach and Paul Goodman, and does a great job of getting us ready. And then right about around now, we start kind of ramping up, preparing for the on-ice stuff. And, you know, then you take it to that level and really try to get dialed in before training camp.
I guess it's got to be mixed emotions, right? I know how glad you are to have Saad back, but by the same token, you and Panarin were so good together. How are you feeling about that whole deal?
Well, I think better now, no doubt about it. You know, I think myself and our Artemi had some great chemistry that, you know, I probably had the most chemistry with him that I've had with any other player. So definitely sad to see him go. He's also a great kid. So
right.
I was, you know, a little sad on that front. But, you know, like you said, we get Brandon back. He's a great player. I think he fills a lot of our needs, and, you know, who knows what can happen. I think, you know, we have some guys, young guys in the lineup that, you know, who knows, maybe I'll even have more chemistry than I did with our Artemi, you know, guys like Nick Schmaltz, Ryan Hartman.
Sure.
You know, obviously we got Sharpie back. I think we always had good chemistry as well. So it's another opportunity, another challenge. You know, I think you got to praise the management. Hey, we didn't get it done last year. Obviously, you know, there's some glaring holes and needs in our lineup that were pretty evident in that first round series against Nashville. Then they went out and made some changes that are good for our team. And, you know, I think the excitement level's at an all-time high now, especially coming off, you know, two first round losses and us knowing we need to get back to where we need to be.
It seemed weird that you are now going into your 10th convention and you're one of the old guys on the team.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, come on.
I know. I remember, you know, the first, you know, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years of my career, I was always pretty much the youngest guy on the team. So, you know, here I am now at 28. We have a lot of young guys on our team, and it's it seems to be going by quicker and quicker. But I think the convention's always a fun time of year, not only for the fans and everyone to come, you know, support the Blackhawks, but for the players as well. You know, we get to see our teammates after a little bit of a long summer layoff and kind of catch up with everyone, have some fun and interact with the fans as well.
If you look at Patrick, I mean, from the time that when you first came here and, you know, 10 years, where do you see yourself as a changed guy inside the locker room? You come in as an 18-year-old, you know, now you're late 20s. The role that you have inside the locker room, how's that changed?
I think it's changed pretty much every year. You know, maybe my, you know, you can look back to those younger years where I was probably just playing the game and not really worrying about too much, you know, being a leader or setting an example or whatever it may be in the locker room. I think that's changed over the past few years, definitely. I think I'm more vocal in the locker room. I think there's certain ways that you can try to get other players to get going and to help out in that way. So I've kind of taken it on. I mean, obviously we have some great leaders and guys you can learn from with, you know, Taser and Dunks and Siebes and even Sharpie, who was here for a while. So you learn from those guys and you kind of implement that into your own personality and try to be, I guess, your own type of leader. So I think I've grown in that respect and, you know, try to take it to another level this year too.
Patrick, you mentioned some of the young guys, and Schmaltz and some of the others on this team. One name you didn't mention, and I wonder how much you've gotten to know of him, is Alex DeBrincat. And we were talking to him the other day. He had a 19-game goal streak. You had a 26-game point streak. I would think you guys might down the road develop some chemistry. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, that's what training camp's for, is for someone to take the bull by the horns and really show the coaches and the team that they're ready to go. So I think he has that opportunity, especially given what he did last year. You know, I think it was like 65 goals in 63 games or something like that. So
those are Troy Murray-like numbers.
Exactly.
career numbers.
So, but yeah, I mean, definitely, we definitely kept an eye on him last year. You know, there's a lot of noise about what he's doing in the OHL and how successful he was. So, and we got to know him a little bit at training camp last year. He seems like a really down-to-earth kid that likes to have fun and play the game. So, I guess, you know, for him, it would be nice for him to kind of have a good training camp and come in and try to make the team and see where you go from there.
What have you been doing this summer? You been traveling or having any fun?
Yeah, went on a couple week vacation to Mexico after the season, and then been playing a lot of golf, hanging around Chicago, training here, back and forth to Buffalo a few times. I actually just went on a recent golf trip with my buddies down in Lake Geneva, which was a blast. So getting away from things, trying some new things, and all in all, trying to work hard and get your body and get prepared for the upcoming season.
The great thing about this team, three cups down the road, they want more. Troy, you see it every day because you're around these guys every day. Speak to that for a second about the hunger of the team, because a lot of people would go, well, maybe that Nashville series is a sign. Maybe these guys have won enough. I mean, neither one of you would feel that way, I would assume, right?
You know what I think about this team and what's so special about this core group of guys is they're not driven by the individual accolades that they've achieved. It's all about wanting more, and they want another championship. They got that taste early on in their career, and I think that's kind of what drives how this core group is wired. That they want more, and I think that's what's been so impressive for me to look at these guys. All the core group of guys that were here, they're Hall of Famers. They've done what they needed to do. They could retire now, and they're Hall of Famers. But
right.
That's not what drives them. What drives them is the success to be the best team that they can. And I think that really is the impressive part of this whole core group of guys, that they want more than what they've already achieved.
Yeah, Patrick, what I heard from you guys, off the air and on the air, was not after the Nashville series was not, we'll get them next year. It was you guys were pissed off. You were angry. You were mad it went out in four.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, that's another thing, too, when you think you have a chance to do something special, and I guess you don't capitalize on the opportunity. It kind of haunts you a little bit. I think, sometimes you could look back at last year because we had a great regular season, and maybe we thought we were better than we really were. But even in those years, where you lose to LA in the conference finals or Detroit in the conference finals, those haunt you a little bit too, because who knows how many championships it could have been. But I think we're happy that we won three, satisfied. I don't think so. I think especially after the last couple of years where it seems like Pittsburgh's kind of taken the league by storm, it's almost like, okay, these guys have challenged us a little bit, and now we got to prove ourselves again. So it's a great opportunity for us. There's been a lot of changes. We still have some of the core guys, but I think you're going to see a lot of new guys, come in and be successful players for us, guys like, Tommy Wingles and Lance Bolma and obviously Sharpie and Sauter are back. But these are guys that can push the pace, play with speed, bring a little energy to the lineup, be physical. And I think that's important. I think those are great traits to have when you have those players.
Well, you got the best fans in all the sports, and they'll be hooting and hollering tonight. We'll be out there with you for the opening ceremonies. And, Troy, one of the things I have always respected about Kaner is in that post-game Channel 9 situation where you grab the mic, or at the NHL awards this year, or whatever. Kaner, you never miss an opportunity to thank the fans, and that means a lot. It means a lot for fans to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're the best fans in all sports, and I just love Chicago. I think it's a great city. I think the people are amazing here. I think they've embraced me, since the day I've come in.
It's like Buffalo with better weather.
Yeah, exactly. I think I think the people have embraced me a lot more here as well. So it's a place I like to call home now, and love being here in the summers, winters, whatever it may be. So Chicago's the best.
All right, buddy. We'll see you later on at the hotel.
Okay. Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate taking the time. Patrick Kane.
His golf game's good. Had a chance to play with him later this summer. Yeah, he's working on it, and he's
shot maker. Or has he hit it far?
Both.
Is that right?
I mean, most hockey players kind of have that eye-hand coordination. Hits the ball far. And
it's so funny to hear him talk as a veteran now when you asked him early on.
A grizzled veteran.
And he said, oh, yeah, way
10
back.
Years.
Way 10 back
years
when I
he's
first
been
started.
Around.
Where were you 10 years in? Where were you playing?
Winnipeg. I played like nine years here.
Right.
Went to Winnipeg and came back a year and a half later.
That's right.
I think I was in Winnipeg for...
Well, I can check your Wikipedia page if you're not sure. Because Wikipedia, it's never wrong.
Why are you asking these tough
questions? It is early, isn't it? Traffic from Mary, and then we're back with more after 8 o'clock. in studio. Troy Murray will be here, and Coach Q will join us.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me.
I remember Dean Richards. We used to do this segment together right around this time.
Oh, those were the days.
And Troy Murray's here from your Chicago Blackhawks.
Troy Murray.
If Troy hadn't had a legendary NHL career and wasn't one of the best color guys ever to do games, he wanted to be an entertainment reporter
Is
and a critic.
Right?
I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that to be true.
Isn't that true, Troy?
And I'm not hearing him say that's true.
It is true.
So I'm inviting Troy to jump in here wherever he sees a need if he wants to comment on anything you and I talk about.
Troy, which is your favorite of the Kardashians?
Okay.
It's hard to pick, right? It's hard to pick.
That when that show goes on, it's my time to leave the room.
Leave, just walk right out.
I can't even tell you how much respect I have for you right now. Didn't already have plenty.
You know, the Kardashians are getting older, and they're starting a new show, Flip That Kardashian, where a couple comes in, and they're carpenters, and you take one of the Kardashians and you rehab them.
Well, I thought Paige was going to be hosting the new show, Trading Kardashians.
Trading Kardashians?
Yeah.
No, it's different.
Totally. I thought Flip That Kardashian was the name of Kim's first tape that
it
she
was.
Released,
yeah.
If I
yeah,
remember.
It was. Yeah, at least the second half.
I couldn't even tell you the names.
There's Zeppo.
I bet you could.
Harpo, Zeppo, Gummo.
Chico.
Chico.
Try and name one.
The Kardashians.
And Bill. That's what I'm talking about.
Try and name one.
The mother is Bill.
I bet you could. Kardashian.
Well,
Kim.
Okay, Kim.
See?
Yeah,
Kim.
But yeah. Dean just said it.
Kim.
Oh.
Do you know
just
the
think of any other K name. Any other name that starts with a K, there's probably a Kardashian.
Yeah. Yeah. Chloe.
Cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
Kimba.
Kimba. Steve often confuses the Lion King.
Yeah, I do.
That's not on my...
Kimba. Remember when Chris Jenner held little Rob up to the sky and chanted...
Hey-o! Ba-ba-dee-da-da-da!
Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
Kardashian.
Kardashian.
All right, so why was Justin Bieber banned from China?
They don't like him. Do you need more than that?
Because I saw that headline, and I thought, well, that's my favorite story of the morning, right there.
Yeah, the Ministry of Culture in Beijing said that it's not appropriate to allow entertainers into China who have engaged in bad behavior.
It's true.
They say that he's a gifted singer, but he's controversial, and they hope that he matures and can continue to improve his own words and actions, but at the moment, he is not welcome in the People's Republic of China.
How old is he now?
I'm going to say he might be about 25-ish.
And still hasn't been able to afford a belt. You know?
Okay, Grandpa.
Pants keep falling down.
All right, you kids with your hibbity-jibbity pants.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground.
Right there. Pull your pants up.
What happens if something happens? You got to run.
Johnny, exactly, right?
There's something rather amazing that somehow people who wear their pants that way, and sometimes when I forget to put a belt on, I wind up being one of those guys. Somehow you walk a certain way so your pants don't fall down.
Well, you tend to manspread while you walk.
You manspread when you walk, exactly. Yeah. He's 23, by the way.
Oh, 23, okay.
March 1st, if you wanted to send him a little gift.
Johnny Depp and the Kardashians are in the news, separately from what we've already talked about. Rachel Ray's in the news. Sad news about the band Linkin Park, and then Dean will do some movie reviews. All that when we come back. First, Mary Asia Traffic, and then more with Troy Murray as well. Coach Q coming up before 9. What do you have, Mary?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards.
Back with Dean Richards. Troy Murray's here. Look at some Friday movie reviews in the second. Dean, Troy and I were just talking about the Hawks logo all over town all year long, whether it's Blackhawks season or not. I would guess I probably have a dozen Hawks hats, probably, I don't know, 20 shirts, sweaters, whatever, with Hawks items.
I'm looking at a couple right now in our
WGN TV newsroom
right.
people just wearing Blackhawks
in
t-shirts
July.
Today.
Yep. Yeah, right in the middle of July. What'd you say from your playing days, Troy? What's like your favorite thing with the Hawks logo on it? You must have one of your old sweaters, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just think that the logo is the best in sports.
No question.
I think the colors are fantastic. The jerseys. I know that the NHL is coming out with new jerseys this year. They're switching to from Reebok to Adidas. Different, little bit of a different cut, a little bit of a different look. But, you know, the colors, the red, I mean.
Well, it honors the Black.
Everybody just loves the uniform.
It honors the Blackhawks tribe. It's unbelievably cool looking, tough looking. The colors pop, as you say.
Yep.
But it's got to be an honor. I would assume. I mean, obviously, I never did it, but it's got to be an honor to wear it.
It is. I mean, and I think that you know, the University of North Dakota. We were just talking about it. Had the same, you know, basically the same Indian head and stuff. And I wear that with a lot of pride. So when I come to Chicago, same thing. I mean, and you know, same with every jersey that I had. I mean, it, you know, you look at the, you know, the crests and the stuff of all the teams that I played on, and I took a lot of pride in all that. But I think that you know, for the Blackhawks, that there's no disrespect.
Can't touch
there.
It.
It's just, you know, it's a pride. It's an honor. And you know, Dennis Savard said, you know, respect the Indian head, you know, back in the day. And that's true. And, you know, you look at the Indian head that they have in the middle of the locker room, which is really cool.
And speaking of Justin Bieber, don't step on it.
Don't step on it.
I wish I had
We had the rules that you couldn't put the jerseys were never allowed to hit the floor.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
What'd you say, Dean? You wish you had what?
I was going to say, I wish that I had my, you know, my sports stuff when I was a kid. You know, whatever hats, T-shirts, because, you know, to me, maybe it's just like, you know, fond memories of being a kid and how much you loved and, you know, what it meant to you to wear those things back then. You know, and this would have been in the Bobby Hall, Stan Mikita era.
Yeah, I mean, what's better as a kid than to put on your you know, in this case, your Blackhawks sweater and pretend you're that guy? I used to do that with Troy when I was a kid.
Right.
But the, you know,
that's why I wear my Steve Cochran shirt now.
Yeah.
The school kids all wear it.
You know, yeah. I mean,
all over the schools, younger kids, younger generation.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot go anywhere in Chicago without seeing a Hawks logo any time of year.
Nope.
All right, what happened to the Linkin Park frontman, Chris Bennington, or Chester Bennington? I mean?
Another rock and roll suicide, hung himself very much like Chris Cornell from Soundgarden did.
Who he idolized, right?
He idolized. He sang at his memorial 2 months ago. He sang Hallelujah at his memorial, and also, I now ironically tweeted at that time, I can't imagine living in a world without Chris Cornell in it. Yesterday was found in his L.A. home, hung himself. He had fronted the group Linkin Park pretty much since its beginning. Had you know,
and this is a big band. This is a band that's
very
got
big. Really good band.
Yeah, and it's got its own thing. But I know he had depression issues and substance abuse issues. Was he clean at this point or not?
You know, people said that he was, but you know, clearly there was something going on. That was bothering him. I have not heard if a note was left, if there you know is any reasoning. I haven't heard people saying that he you know seemed depressed lately, anything like that. I think it's just you know pretty much been a surprise to everybody.
And did you know yesterday was Chris Cornell's birthday?
Chris Cornell's birthday yesterday. So you know does that play into it? You know was it you know sadness over the loss of his friend? What's really been interesting is the response on Twitter, people like Chance the Rapper expressing condolences, not so much a surprise, Soundgarden, Imagine Dragons, okay. Arcade Fire, but Jimmy Kimmel, not a surprise. What really surprised me, Ohio Governor John Kasich tweeting a really profound, you know, that he had met him and he liked him and he was a nice young man and was nice to his...
Yeah, you wouldn't think of Kasich being a Linkin Park guy.
Yeah, well, he said that he called his kids personally. You know, so his reach was profound.
And rest in peace. Johnny Depp has gone through some interesting financial times lately. Maybe if he stopped buying crazy things, he'd have a little more money. What did he buy now?
Well, he's going through this big legal battle with his former business managers. He's suing them, saying negligently managing his money. They're suing him, claiming that he's, you know, was frivolously spending money. So some of Johnny Depp's expenses were released yesterday. You tell me if you think these are over the top.
All right, you tell me.
$7,000 to buy a couch
yep.
that was used on the set of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Totally a good buy. It makes total sense.
See, it's come full circle.
This is
now.
A gift. This was a gift for Johnny Depp's 18-year-old daughter.
Yep.
$17,000 in handbags and luggage from Prada in Beverly Hills.
And that was just for Johnny.
For him to wear as earrings.
Yes.
$1 million in expenses related to his personal Bahamian island that he owns, including $123,000 of charges for his 2015 wedding to Amber Heard and $9,500 for the safari thatch hut material yep. theme that was used.
That yeah, I haven't heard anything that doesn't make total sense so far.
Who doesn't have that at their
yeah.
wedding?
Yeah.
$50,000 in rental fees for storage warehouses where he keeps his Hollywood collectibles.
Yep. $200,000 for super soakers.
Super, that would be awesome. $60,000 in non-covered medical costs. I don't yeah, know what that means.
Because he needed his head examined for the money he was spending. Rachel Ray coming back to Channel 9.
She is going to be bringing her daytime talk show, cooking and celebrities and so forth. All of that's coming back to the Big Number 9 September 11th.
Okay.
It'll be on right after the TV morning show, right after the Steve Cochran show on CLTV.
Right. Media. We're thinking about adding a cooking segment to the CLTV hour.
Oh, well, that'll be nice.
Nothing's better than a radio cooking segment rebroadcast on television.
Yeah, but we're going to make, like, grilled cheese or peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
We're not going to make, like, crazy food.
No.
Things.
No,
those are favorites.
Cut yeah. off the crusties.
Yeah.
And finally, the movies for the weekend. What is Girls Trip?
Girls Trip is Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, Regina Hall, and a newcomer, Tiffany Haddish.
Uh-huh.
She was on the Carmichael Show. She's been on a lot
yeah,
of TV shows. But she really like steals this movie from everybody else. She's really funny. It's a girl, a very hard R-rated, raucous R-rated comedy, Girls Wild Weekend in New Orleans. You know, it's one of these. Look, we girls can be just as raunchy as you guys in The Hangover.
Yeah,
that's basically what this movie is about. It's really funny at times. It's really raw and raunchy at times. My biggest problem with this, you know how in these some of these like super raunchy movies, you know, they come back at the end and there's a nice moral to the story and they try to tie a
pretty
bow. There is. But this is a movie that has like an entire 5-minute scene on public urination. And then they're, you know, at the end of the movie are, you know, they're trying to, you know, hit all these moral,
make it all
moral
sweet
tones. It's like either be a raunchy movie or you'd be a Lifetime movie.
Sounds like a Dean's List C to me.
I gave it a Dean's List B because I did laugh out loud at some of the silly scenes.
Seems generous. You know, a B seems generous.
I'd rather just have a chick flick where you laugh instead of seeing kind of that raunchy
stuff.
You
know, when Troy and I go to movies, I like a good cry.
Yeah. You
and then Troy goes, this is why I don't go to movies with you.
Yeah.
Do you keep the seat between you at the movies?
Oh, sure. The safety seat. That's what dudes do.
If you go to a movie with your guy friend, if you're a guy, you can get arrested if you sit right next to him.
Troy and I are such men, we have two seats between us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Dunkirk, the movie Dunkirk.
Awesome. It's just absolutely awesome. Director Christopher Nolan, who gave us Batman Begins and the Dark Knight movies and Interstellar, and this whole catalog of amazing all-fiction films, gives us the first nonfiction story that he's ever done, this true story of one of the most amazing moments during World War II, the evacuation of over 300,000 troops on this French beach in Dunkirk while the Nazis were closing in on them. It's not Saving Private Ryan. It's not gruesome in that way. It's meticulous. It's relentless. But it's told with sort of a dignity and a pace that keeps you so involved in the story and keeps you right on the edge of your seat, especially considering if you know history, you know how all of this ended. It's so compelling, and it's compelling without really a big star in the role. There's not a star of this movie. This is, in the truest sense, an ensemble movie. Tom Hardy is in the movie, and Gillian Anderson. And
but the story is the star.
Kenneth Branagh. The story really here is the star, and how Christopher Nolan shot this. He shot it, many of the scenes, with 70-millimeter IMAX cameras.
Wow.
That makes a huge difference when you see it up on the screen. Now, the problem is, here in Chicago, we do not unbelievably have a single theater that shows 70-millimeter IMAX.
Is that right?
We have 70-millimeter, and we have IMAX, but we don't have one that is both.
I didn't know that.
Which is amazing to
me.
But so I'm saying, see this movie. It's stunning because it's a true story, and it's a tribute to the men and women who were all involved in this and that greatest generation bravery that we see demonstrated over and over in the movies. But see it because it's visually amazing. It's a great film, but see it on as big a screen as you possibly can. Definitely worth the money. Dean's List A.
How's Harry Styles in that, Gordon?
Harry Styles has a small role, supporting role, but he is really good in the movie.
Wow. Good.
I'm watching the movie, and I think, was that the kid from One Direction that I just saw on the beaches of World War II?
That's so weird.
It was really a surprise, but it's his movie debut, and he does a really great job in this.
Thanks, buddy. Hear you on the radio Sunday.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. Troy, nice to talk to you.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Seems like it's been forever, doesn't it? The familiar strains of the Who. Remember our slogan around here, much more talk, much less music.
Out here in the fields, I fight for my meals.
But we play the Who for Coach Q. Troy Murray in studio as well as Coach joins us now. Happy summer, Coach. How you been?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Well, we're good. Good to hear your voice again. And guess who's in studio? Troy Murray.
All right, Troy.
Good morning.
I see him. I'm seeing you everywhere this week.
Yeah, I saw you at the Brian Campbell press conference a few days ago.
And by the way, this exchange you just heard between Troy and Q is known as a long talk between hockey players.
that's about right.
How you doing? Good. You? Okay. How's your summer? What have you been up to?
Been a few places, been to Connecticut a bunch of times, up to Colorado a little bit, and but mostly around Chicago. Been around the kids, and we've got a new staff around here.
Right.
Doing a little bit of that stuff. We have prospect camp going on this week.
Starting to get serious again.
Yeah. It's kind of a hockey week this week, so it's all the coaches are in today, and then for the convention as well, so it'll be a good weekend, fun weekend for everybody, and looking forward to that.
It's great. In the middle of July, it's going to be hot and humid and sweaty and smelly today, and people are talking and thinking hockey. We love that, Coach.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Did you have an opportunity to see much of the prospect camp this week?
Yeah, been there a couple times. They got a scrimmage coming up here
today,
probably in about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That'll be fun to watch, and I think it's a they've had a great week. They've got 40 something guys in camp, and they're it's very demanding for these kids. It's a great way for them to get some exposure to what it's like being a pro, all the facets of whether it's training, whether it's conditioning, whether it's nutrition, whether it's mental preparation. The guys have done a great job of educating these guys in the right way, and but it's a lot of demands and a workload, be it on and off the ice.
What's expected out of prospect camp? You see guys that you can develop through Rockford and beyond, or do you sometimes see somebody that's really special that, you know, maybe gets a shot fast?
I think it's important for the kids to, for us to give them some exposure to how to go about training, how to go about preparation going into a season, how to build yourself up strength-wise and conditioning-wise, eating the right things, taking care of yourself, and getting to see some familiarity of what how the pros are doing it here. They get that taste when they're in training camps, but I think in the prospect camp, they've had whether they're getting spoken to on how to prepare for competitive games, how to and all the things that are needed over a course of a season, whether it's the time you got to put in the gym, the you know, the extra efforts that are needed, how you're preparing between games, and I just think the little things that in whether it's in junior or college, you know, there's another level that they all going to see and get awareness to it over the course of the week. But I think that you know, Barry and his crew have done a great job of getting everybody on the next page, and knowing that there's one more level that they're looking to achieve, and there's a lot of competitiveness as well. And then you get a little bit of a read on them. I think handicapping these guys as far as hockey players and getting a pretty good book on them is something that you know, I think that's not the most important thing. And I think that you know, I think that comes with their exposure over the course of their seasons, wherever they're at or in training camp. But this is you know, today would be fun watching these guys in a game environment where you get a little bit of a better assessment of you know, exactly what kind of player they are.
There's always one guy that last year maybe it was 14 that came out of nowhere to really kind of step up. Do you see somebody in that position this year, Joel?
Well, they've had just 3-on-3, and I think when you put them in a 5-on-5 environment, we'll see. You know, right now it's I'm looking forward to seeing you know, how whether it's a DeBrincat stepping up and playing.
He was good on the radio. I don't know how good a hockey player he is, but he was good on the show with us.
Oh, he's been amazing. He's had an amazing career, spectacular what he's achieved, and you know, we're just looking for him to keep improving along the way because you know, the future is very bright for him. So looking forward to seeing how he does, and not just him, but there's a number of guys. Seeing who you know, when it gets competitive, where you know there's some guys who are looking for who's going to come up with loose pucks or who's going to win some battles, and so that'll be fun. It'll be competitive.
You know, they always talk about this change in the game, Dave and Troy, the speed from college to the pros when it comes to football and things like that. And Troy, you can speak to this as well. But for you, Q, and Troy, when you come up from the juniors and you finally make it to the NHL. What's the biggest difference that you see? Is it size? Is it speed? And is it way different now than it was when you guys came up?
I think when you look at it, anytime you step up a different level, the speed is one of the things that you notice. But, you know, also when you're a 19-year-old kid, all of a sudden, you know, as Key was talking about there, they don't know how to train, and they need to, you know, fill out a little bit more, the size factor, the maturity factor. But I think when everybody talks about, you know, taking that next step and getting the next level, it is about the speed.
Right.
And the way that the game is played at that level, you can be really good in the American Hockey League, but there's an adjustment when you come up to the NHL, and doesn't mean because you've had good results at the American Hockey League that you're going to play the NHL game at that level. And everybody talks about the game is just quicker and everything happens faster.
Same for you, Q.
I agree with that. It's all about speed, you know, and these guys, the game's so much faster, and it's fast at the junior levels in college. These kids have played, you know, the games. Everybody seems to be quicker, and that element of strength is something that's the next step for these guys to add to their game, and they get exposed to it quickly when they're up there fighting for a guy with a puck that's been around the game. They whether it's trickery or strength, that you know, it's tough to get the puck away from some of those guys, and they'll learn they got to get it back, so that. They'll pick up some good habits along the way.
Yeah, I saw a quote from DeBrincat where he's talking about at Erie, he'd see those openings. He says he doesn't expect the same openings to be there when he gets to the NHL. But I want to ask you about chemistry. We've talked a lot on this show the last few years. You've worked some new guys in, and we've talked a lot about getting adjusted playing with each other. But you have some guys now who are coming back here and have some familiarity with the guys with whom they're playing. Does that help when you have guys like Saad and Sharp who have played with some of these guys before?
I think it's going to help. I think the excitement of those guys coming back is definitely got to be healthy for your team. And I think, you know, whether Saad playing with Johnny or, you know, Sharp's options of playing with Kaner, or there's a number of options with both guys that you have. And, you know, I think that can help. I think that we still got a lot of change in our lineup that we, you know, every seems like the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years, it seems like whether we're changing 6, 7, or 8 guys, it seems to be the norm. And but I think our team and the core group really helped stabilize the fact that, you know, new guys, I think it's healthy. And I think that how we play is very comparable to how we played when Bo Sutter and Sharpie were here. So I think it's an easy fit for those guys, and our system's relatively easy to play. So getting acclimated to that part of the game where there's not a lot of hesitation, we're out there playing on our instincts and playing the right way is something that hopefully guys grasp quickly. But I think the one thing we want to add to our team game is we want to be harder to play against. And we felt last year at the end, you know, it's disappointing in some aspects of the game. And I think that you know, coming up with more loose pucks, getting to the front of the net, winning puck battles, and being a little scrappier would be something that we can add to our game. And hopefully it can help us be a stronger team.
Last word from you, Troy, then we'll let Coach go.
The big convention comes up today, starting at 5 o'clock with the opening ceremonies. Q, it's a pretty special weekend for fans here in Chicago to see what the Blackhawks are all about.
Yeah, it's some new faces coming and some old faces coming back, so it'll be fun to see Sharpie. And,
who's gonna get the biggest round of applause in the opening ceremonies?
Oh, I think it's going to be who's going to get the bet? I think Sharpie might get the
bet. Exactly.
I think that's true, too.
I got my bet on Sharpie. You know, so
it's, yeah, and a lot of that will be female and it'll be loud.
Yeah, for sure.
And that old faces comment, that wasn't meant for Dave, was it?
I think it was might have been me.
All right, Coach, we'll see you later on.
All right.
Thanks. That's nice. Coach Q.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands.
Welcome to everybody on CLTV and 720 WGN, the Steve Cochran Show. That's Andrea waving. I'll introduce the band here in just a second. And tomorrow night I have the honor of being at a very important event. It's the second annual Chat Effect, and my friend Jim Cook's here. Jim and his family went through a nightmare. It's an ongoing nightmare. You lose a kid, it doesn't just end, it just goes on. But that's the bad news. The good news is Chad Cook had a dream, and his dad, Jim, and the family are helping that dream be realized. And, Jim, nice to see you. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing good.
All right. So let's go backwards here for a second and remind people what Chad wants out of Chad Effect and what your family's doing.
Okay. The Chad Effect is a charity that Chad started with his girlfriend when he was a freshman in college. And what it did was he tried to encourage others. For instance, there was a special needs kid who folded towels for the basketball team.
The team he played on?
The team he played on at College of Charleston. And he would go over and have lunch with him when he was sitting there by himself, and the rest of the team would eat, you know, together. And Chad always made it a point to go out of his way to help the underdog, because he was an underdog. He was an overcomer. And he coined a phrase, live intentionally. On purpose.
Have a purpose. Get up in the morning with an idea that you're going to be a better person than you were yesterday and do something with your life.
Yep, exactly.
Now, he died at what age?
He was 20 years old.
20 years old, playing basketball, and an amazing kid. You got an amazing family. And your family as dedicated as you have this legacy to Chad to be met. And Chad Effect goes on with a website, ability to donate, and an event tomorrow night. Where's the event?
The event is at the pub, base camp at Four Lakes.
It's cool. It's a cool place.
Yep. That's where we had it last year.
Right, right. And he's having it here this year again so I can find it. I'll be out there to help do a little bit of emceeing. We've got a band here that's going to play in just a second. But the money raised tomorrow night will be to continue the legacy, right?
Yes. He encouraged people. He had a contagious positive attitude. He liked to serve other people. He made him feel special. He inspired people with his life for only 20 years. And the charity has grown so much. The day he died, he told us he wanted to help more kids. I got to help more kids, Dad. I got to help more kids. And he started with two classrooms in one school. Now they've got five locations around the country, and they've helped over 4,000 kids at Christmas time, and under-resourced children who cannot play sports or afford to go to camps during the summer.
Yeah, and I love that part of it. I love that scholarship kids into camp idea, because I don't know anybody else that does it, and I think it was a really cool idea.
Yeah, it's done really well. We also sponsor a homeless shelter called Cornerstone. They have boys 13 to 18 years old that came right off the street, or from their parents are in a gang, or would be in prison or whatever. And none of them, the eight kids in this house, none of them have ever experienced a birthday. So the Chad Effect went in and we bought presents for everybody and took them out to eat and stuff like that. So we helped them experience a birthday for the first time in their life. And so we're committed to continue that on too.
And Chad's girlfriend was a big part with Chad of getting this thing cranked up, right?
Yes, yes. We have five locations. We have Charleston Hope. We have Clemson Hope, Spartanburg Hope, Akron Hope in Ohio, and Chicago Hope.
Yeah.
You know, you say,
and the dream would be to spread this around the country.
You know, you say, what was your best birthday? I bet every one of those people will say, my first birthday.
Yeah.
Because literally, it's the first birthday they ever experienced.
Yep, you're
That's
right.
That's incredible.
Yeah, you're a good man. It's a good family.
Thank you.
I know you miss your kid every day, as everybody ever knew him did, but you're doing a good thing here.
Yep.
All right, so why don't you introduce the band?
Okay, we...
Where'd you find these drifters? And I don't mean that in a musical way.
We have singing, and with the guitar is Mark Enloe. He is he's from Nashville, Tennessee. And
he looks like somebody. I can't put my finger on it. Who does he look like, Jim?
He specializes in the Roy Orbison look.
Yes,
and
he does.
And voice. Wait till you hear him sing. And then we have two backup singers. I call them the Branlettes.
Oh, yes. They look familiar to me. I thought I'd seen them somewhere.
Yes.
And we all know each other from our church, Community Christian Church. Stop at one of our 914 convenient locations. all right. What are you guys going to do?
I'm going to do a song called
Only the Lonely. Only the Lonely. Yeah. I think I've heard it. You want me to shut these off and leave that alone? Okay, we're just having an on-air meeting here. Here you go. These guys will perform tomorrow night, Jim?
Yes, they'll be there tomorrow night. We'll start. We have a silent auction, and we start at 6:30, and then the music will start around 8:30. And we are auctioning off Cubs tickets. Got two sets of Cubs tickets. We have Blackhawks special package. We've got a lot of good
cool
artwork.
Stuff.
Oh yeah, it's done real well last year, and
you can just walk up at this point, right? But you can also donate online
if you can't
make it tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you can buy tickets online at chadeffect.org. You can go into Eventbrite and buy tickets now ahead of time. But last year it was a great success, and we expect more this year. We're having a basketball tournament also for anywhere from 5th to 8th grade. Last year we had 30 teams. This year we got 47 teams.
Very cool.
Yep. We got a lot of stuff going on. Chad always believed that his effect on others was about the only true currency there was. So we're just trying to carry that on.
By the way, for those of you who might be spelling challenged, EFFECT.
Yes.
Chad Effect. All right.
Chad Effect.
All right, boys, whenever you're ready.
All right, let's try it. Only the lonely know the way I feel tonight. Only the lonely know this feeling ain't right. There goes my baby, there goes my heart. They're gone forever, bum, 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 bum. So far apart, bum, 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 bum. But only lonely know why I cry. Only the lonely.
Yeah. Oh, 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 oh. driving through.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Only the lonely.
Dum, 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 dum,
no, I cry, cry for you.
Dum, 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 dum,
maybe tomorrow.
Bum, 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 bum.
A new romance.
Bum, 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 bum.
No more sorrow.
Bum, 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 bum.
But that's a chance.
Bum, 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 bum.
You gotta take if your lonely heart breaks. Only the lonely.
Dum, 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 dum.
How about that?
Ooh.
How about that?
Thank you very much.
There are notes that you hit that you can't hit at this hour. No. How tight are your underwear?
Very tight.
Yeah, thank you. Unbelievable. Very, thank very you. Nice. We'll come back and do more coming up. Stand by. Harry Smith will join us in a second as well from CBS on 720 WGN.
We meatloaf them. I'll take it. It's baseball, man. It happens. Listen, you're not going to win them all, man.
Don't ever permit the pressure to exceed the pleasure. Don't ever permit the pressure to exceed the pleasure.
Groovy. Thanks.
You might be saying, what does Harry Smith have to do with Joe Maddon and the Chicago Cubs? Is that what you're thinking? Let me tell you what. Harry Smith has a heater. Harry Smith throws between 95 and 100 miles an hour.
Does he really?
Just messing around.
So you think that before the trade deadline, Cubs might swing a deal to acquire Harry Smith?
I'm just saying if it happens, let's remember where you heard it.
Yeah.
Sunday night with Megyn Kelly, Harry Smith joins us from NBC. Actually, I ordered the old Harry Smith from CBS, but I like all the Harry Smiths.
Right.
And Harry's got Chicago roots. Nice to have you back on WGN.
You know, I find it an honor every time I get to appear on WGN because in my household down in Lansing, Illinois, we woke up with Wally Phillips and went to sleep with Franklin McCormick. So this is a big deal for me.
How about that? Well, I think it's a nice break for you doing the Steve Cochran show again. I think you may make it.
I keep trying, man. I'm not giving up.
All right, so you know how cool Joe Maddon is, but you sit down, you have a long talk with him, you get to know him a little bit. What's your takeaway? Mm-hmm.
The reason we're doing this profile, A, he becomes famous because of his work with the Chicago Cubs. But the thing we found really interesting about him is his work that he's doing in his hometown of Hazleton, PA.
Right.
And the story of that town reminded me so much of my upbringing south of Chicago, where most of the guys I went to high school with didn't think about going to college because they were going to, you know, go and work in the mills in East Chicago and Gary and Whiting. And all of that stuff started going away in the 70s and 80s, and that's a similar sort of thing that happened at Joe's hometown in Hazleton.
And, you know, he does the pasta dinner thing where he and his wife do all the cooking. And all year long, he quietly, and I don't know how much of this, Harry, you hit in the piece, he quietly raises money. It's not one of these things where he goes out and he goes, hey, let's get the media out to see this. And he just does it over and over again. He's a good dude.
He is a completely impressive person on every possible level. So, yeah, it was very, very cool to be. We came to Chicago, did a long interview with him in Chicago, and then I guess it's about a month or so ago, they were playing the Mets, and he decided to drive then from New York, stop in Hazleton, and then drive his way on to Pittsburgh. So we got to see him in Hazleton, too.
Harry, good morning. I can't wait to see the piece, but from what I've read about it, very humble beginnings for Joe Maddon, which I didn't realize. And did he at one point credit growing up there with helping him become the successful baseball manager that he so is?
All of that, Andrea. It's he describes Hazleton as a perfect place to grow up. And like a lot of people from the Chicagoland area, all of the people who came into that area 100 or so years ago were immigrants. His grandparents were Italian and Polish. And they were not received well when they got there 100 or so years ago. And so his whole thing there was, He said he felt like he had the perfect childhood. And he says, we have a whole bunch of Hispanic people moving into Hazleton because of the different jobs that are available, people trying to escape the big cities. And he said, those kids deserve the same upbringing that I had. And I felt like I grew up in a perfect place. So he said, and why are these people being treated like they're being treated the way our grandparents were 100 or so years ago here in Hazleton? Let's give them a level playing field. That's what it's all about.
Pretty nice.
Did he really say he was unhittable as a little leaguer?
I laughed when he said it, but he said no brag, just fact. Wow. Yeah. That unhittable in little league and high school.
It's a lot like me in wiffle ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, my 12-foot curve was unbelievable. Uh-huh. I could start.
Are you playing with the big wiffle ball or the little wiffle ball?
I could go both. Don't start with me, Harry.
Yeah.
I'll show you the way on both of those.
Well, that's the thing: the little skinny bat or the big fat bat.
It depends. Well, whatever you want. You're not going to hit off me. of course, a lot of people think I doctor my wiffle ball.
Cork the bat.
So it's,
yeah,
it's
put a little piece of bubble gum inside there and it gets it a little extra weight.
It's Sunday night with Megyn Kelly. And listen, she's doing a great job. And that show is going to have the audience it deserves very soon. And in no small part, thanks to Harry Smith and Joe Madden. TV's always better when Harry Smith's on it, don't you think?
Oh, man.
I mean, I go through and I flip through and I see all the reality crap that's on. I don't know if you know this. You're not on The Real Housewives. You're not on any of these house flipping shows. You know, you're on Sunday night with Megyn Kelly.
Not yet. Not yet.
Oh, you're thinking about going to The Real Housewives?
Listen, I go wherever they'll pay me. So
let me tell you something. Harry Smith shows up on a Real Housewives episode. He's not going back to Lansing, Illinois.
No.
That's over.
By the way, I bought my first car in Lansing. I grew up just down the street from you, Harry, in Orland Park. But one of my favorite shows ever was Biography.
Oh yeah,
on
absolutely.
Annie,
thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep,
back in the day. Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back in the day. Who remembers the 90s?
Right.
Show of hands.
Late 90s.
Show of hands. Listen, I know you got to run, but thanks for jumping on. You're always welcome here. Next time you're in a neighborhood, just wander by the window and come sit in with the band.
Be careful what you know, when people make offers like that.
Dude, anytime.
I'm the guy who will be there, nose on the glass, and they'll say, who's that old guy?
No. That's what they say when they look in and see me. Glass. come in and young
you
up the place,
Barbara, bro.
Yes, you and I do. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Right.
That's Lansing Zone, Harry Smith. Sunday night with Megyn Kelly. He'll be talking with the skipper of your Chicago Cubs, Joe Madden. I didn't know he was a Little League dominant guy.
Yeah, apparently. He was also, I think he was a very good high school quarterback.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And he makes a mean meatball.
Apparently.
Right? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Let's do this. Break, come back, big story. Got more music in studio. And don't forget, chateffect.org. Get your tickets for tomorrow night or donate whenever you can and volunteer to help as we continue the Chad Cook legacy. All right, back after this on 720 WGN.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake-up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
9:43. I want to say hi to a couple of guys in studio who were nice enough to come by. Okay, they were booked. Joining us in studio, Matthew Roth and Grant Condry. And where are you guys from?
We're from Wilmette, Illinois.
Lean into that mic, bud. Both of you guys lean in. You're from Wilmette.
Yeah.
And how do you know each other?
We've been friends since about kindergarten.
Kindergarten, yeah.
Yeah.
And who's older, Matthew?
I'm older by about a month. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's okay. It's all right. We still like you. and Grant, what year are you at school?
We're both about to be seniors.
What are you going to do next year? Any idea?
Not yet. You know, college application process starts soon, but haven't figured much out yet.
How'd the ACTs go?
Pretty well.
Pretty good, yeah.
Okay, you want to give me a number?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because he might take it again. They might take it again.
What's the number you told your parents?
36.
36, obviously.
Well, that's the highest, right?
Yeah, you can't get higher than 36. You guys did something cool, and I just wanted to salute you for it. It's called Project Cell. What is it?
So basically, we're encouraging people around the Chicagoland area to host a garage sale, either donate all or part of the proceeds to Lurie's Children's Hospital, and they can go through our website. It's projectcell.org, and all the donations are tax-deductible.
Projectcell.org. Any ideas? Sell your crap.
Exactly.
And then instead of keeping the money, give it to Lurie's.
This is great. My mom does this every year with her block. I mean, like, you know how every house will kind of – so they can do that. You can have – more than one, you can have like a group garage sale.
Yeah.
Anyway, you
can.
That
money you can raise.
And by the way, the foundation, for people that don't know, you're going, well, what does Lurie need money for? There's a foundation at Lurie Children's that goes to pay for off-budget items like folks that walk in that have no insurance or they need a new piece of equipment, that type of thing.
Yeah, just things like blankets, toys, things like that, too.
Yeah, stuff that, you know, expenses that come up all the time. It's nice of you guys to do it. Whose idea was it?
Well, I've hosted a garage sale myself.
You're kind of in charge of this, aren't you? I mean, Grant's just kind of dead weight.
Here, Grant, you go. Explain.
Well, Matthew's got the background in this. I mean, he's...
You seem like a salesman, dude. You'd be a good salesman.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right, so but how did Grant do? Was he helpful?
Oh, yeah, he's been great. You know, we haven't... obviously, we haven't done it yet. It's... The date for it is August 12th.
Oh, so. It is August 12th.
National Garage Sale Day.
Is that really National Garage Sale Day?
I know.
Okay, that's funny.
Get the word out. Yeah. Okay.
So that gives people time to prepare.
Right. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Now, did you guys do this because you're good guys, or was it a way to try to meet girls? Or you could
some
tell
of
them you were good guys.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. yeah, you know, we thought it's hard to find a better cause than Lurie Children's Hospital. So, you know, we thought this would be an easy cause to get people behind, too.
Yeah.
And well, it's smart.
A big community with Lurie's. Unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, have family, friends, neighbors who have gone there. And they've had great experiences with the staff and the process in general.
Well, it's a good way to pay it forward, too, right? Because you guys are healthy, and I assume you have healthy families all of that.
There's a whole garage sale subculture, too.
There is?
Right? It's still so popular. Absolutely. Again, my mom does this with her blog. I'm going to tell them to donate all their proceeds this year to you guys. But they all like, people are waiting before it opens up, and then they get the little notices.
She's done like garage sale lurkers?
Yeah, like, you know, you go antique.
Like cruise a neighborhood?
Like, you know, you go antiquing, really, right? I mean, they wait, and they go from one to one in each neighborhood, so.
Show up like an hour early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I prefer just breaking and entering. You know, you wait till they're out of town.
And then donate.
And then sell it online and donate the money.
Projectcell.org.
Great salesman. Yeah. Donate when
nicely
you break
done by
and
you.
Enter.
For those of you who go, oh, those New Trier kids, they're not doing anything. Yeah, they are, actually. A couple of fine guys from New Trier sitting right here. You know, if you guys being in here, do you guys like food? You ever eat?
Occasionally, we do eat.
Pequod's Pizza in Chicago and Morton Grove, dubbed the best pizza in Illinois. You ever had a Pequod's Pizza?
No.
Oh, they're good, dude. They're good. Pequod's Pizza, we're going to give you a gift card for that. And Apt Electronics, kind of in your neighborhood. That's not far from you guys.
Yeah.
Apt Electronics, go get yourself some new earbuds or something. Don't take them. Pay for them because we're giving you gift cards for that. All right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Projectcell.org.
Yes.
Projectcell.org. Please check that out. And you want to say hi to anybody else when you're on to impress them?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Craig Condry out there listening. Grant's dad.
That's my dad.
Okay, good.
Mayor of South Bend.
Yeah.
Okay. Mayor of
not what? Actually. He's self-proclaimed mayor of South Bend.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. That's good to know. I need his contact info.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anything you can do to make your dad look better, I think that's a good thing.
College admissions officers.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, sucking up the schools.
Good call, yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's how Dave got into Northwestern.
Yep, that's right.
Well, good to see you guys. Nicely done by you. One more time on the website.
Projectcell.org. Donate your proceeds, host a sale. It's a great cause.
All right, nice job. And you guys come back every year and do this.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thanks. Back to my friend Jim Cook, and we were talking earlier, for those of you who may not have been on the radio with us then, Jim lost his son Chad a couple of years ago. Chad at the College of Charleston is a D1 basketball player, and just an absolute nightmare. And instead of letting that envelop and destroy. He's decided to take Chad's dream and push it forward, and I salute you for that. Again, the event is tomorrow night where?
At Base Camp, the pub, and Lyle, Four Lakes.
And what time are we starting?
6:30. The auction, the silent auction starts at 6:30. Then the music will start between 8 and 8:30.
And then
free food.
I was talking to Alec Bramlett, and he and I thought we'd do some close hand magic on stage for a couple of hours.
That'll work.
Yeah. Or possibly a new game I just came up with called Guess What I'm Thinking. Yeah, we could do that as well. Now tell me about the band again, Jim. We're about to hear one more from
the band. Mark Enloe. It lives in Nashville, Tennessee. He is a
he's got an amazing voice.
Yes, he's got a great voice, even as early in the morning, but it's still good. And he is from Nashville, Tennessee, and he looks like and sounds like Roy Orbison. And so he used to have a band called the Roy Orbits Trio, and now he is pre-banding for some people around Nashville, and he's just getting into the Nashville culture down there. He lived here for years.
You make a lot of club money down there, buddy. Oh, yeah. You and your Roy Orbison buddies. Now, was there a Yoko that broke up the band?
No, not at all. I have my lovely wife here.
She's delightful.
She's also my manager.
Oh, okay.
Josie. And,
all right. Well, so far he's doing great. All right, what are you guys going to sing this time?
We're going to mix it up a little bit here. We're going to do a friend of Roy's, of the Everly Brothers. We're good friends. And we're going to try an Everly Brothers song called Bye Bye Love.
Oh, yeah, Bye Bye Love. All right, and again, these guys are going to be playing tomorrow night at the Base Camp for Chad Effect. Don't forget the website now, chadeffect.org. Here you go, when you're ready.
Okay, you ready.
Bye Bye Love. Bye Bye Happiness. Hello. I'm gonna cry. Bye bye love. Bye bye sweet caress. Hello emptiness. I feel like I could die. Bye bye my love. Goodbye. There go my baby with someone new. She sure looks happy. I sure am blue. She was my baby till he stepped in. Goodbye to romance that might have been. Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, sweet caress. Hello, emptiness. I feel like I could die. Bye-bye, my love, goodbye. I'm through with romance. I'm through with love. I'm through with counting the stars above. And here's a reason that I'm so free. My loving baby. Is it through with me? Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, sweet caress. Hello, emptiness. I feel like I could die. Bye-bye, my love. Goodbye. Bye-bye, my love, goodbye. Bye-bye, my love, goodbye.
I'll play it. Thank you. Yeah. You're going to have that kind of great music tomorrow night. Really, really good.
Fantastic.
And, hey, Roy, you got a website you want to throw out for you?
Not yet. Will be. Well, yes, actually, it will be.
Or a Facebook page or anything?
I have a Facebook page, Mark Enloe.
Spell Enloe.
I-N-L-O-W.
I just want to make sure people can follow you. That's all.
A lot of things happening. So, and the website will be Roy in the Orbits with an S .com.
And how do you feel the Bramlett boys are doing? Are they good?
I think they're great. I played with them before at the Yellow Box Church, and it's they're great guys to be with. And I want to have them come down to Nashville one of these days and join our band down there and do some backup.
Well, they're nice guys.
They're
but
very nice.
They're nice guys, but as a legendary lead, are you willing to screw them and not pay them what they earned?
Oh, of course.
Okay, just checking. In the true tradition of rock and roll.
Wouldn't have it any other way. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. And the Bramletts, nice job, boys. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy coming up, and I hope to see you guys tomorrow night. This is 720 WGN.